If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 14. I wanted to clarify, I was giving Charles a hard time. This was a... All three of us have the same problem. We forget. And it's funny. But I think we're in good company. How many here have forgotten at least one thing in your life? How about this morning? We're all in the same boat. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. We all have good intentions. We all forget. And we need to give others grace. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Saying, this man began to build... Oh, verse 29. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and we ask you to bless this message. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. And we thank you ever so much, Lord, for rising again, defeating death with your eternal life. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts this morning, soften our hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear what you'd have us to hear. We ask these things and praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, my dad, one of the things he said to us was, you do anything you want, but just be willing to accept the consequences. That was one of these things. And the other thing, hey, if you're going to start a job, then finish it. Very simple. We see today where I've got friends who own businesses and someone will apply for a job, go to a job, be 3 days at a job, and never show up again. It's just maybe our society has gotten where we lack commitment. But Christ expects us to act as reasonable men, as believers in Christ. And when we sit down to consider the consequences and count the cost. The sermon this morning is on counting the cost. And count the cost before starting any serious undertaking. Being a Christian is a serious undertaking. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. Hate here is a degree of love. In other words, to love less. We don't have to have a disdain toward our mother and father, but we have to love them to a lesser degree than we do our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth. We're to love them less than the one who paid the price for our sins on the cross. He says, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. We're to love our own life at a lesser degree then we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whosoever, verse 27, doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Bearing a cross, to bear is to endure whatever's burdensome or trying or considered disgraceful. And it's getting to the day and age where being affiliated with Jesus Christ of Nazareth is disgraceful in the eyes of the world. Bearing one's cross simply consists of doing our duty for the cause of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower? If we're going to start a job, we need to finish it. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? We're talking about Christianity here. And I may say something here that may seem blasphemous, may seem unbiblical, but please give it about 45 seconds. Those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, believing and knowing what the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners and we need a Savior. And those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ, the only one that can take away sin, and we've been justified by faith. And the Bible says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're believers because we put our faith and trust, our belief in Him. We are believers. But the term Christian goes a little bit further than that. The word Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. Now, can someone be a believer and not a Christian? I believe someone can be a believer and not a Christian. I believe that all of us can look to some point in our life at one time or another where, as a believer, we've been very un-Christ-like. To the person across the street, to our family at the Easter dinner, our co-worker, we're still a believer. We still have eternal life, and that's forever. We're kept by the power of God, but we've ceased at times being a Christian. Jesus Christ says, if we're going to build a tower, it's a serious undertaking. We're building if we're to build a tower, something that will last, a legacy for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He says we've got to count the cost. How many of us here are interested in building a legacy for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, there are a lot of us. And we're talking about spiritual things, where moths don't eat, where rust doesn't corrupt. We're building something that will last. We're gathering flowers for the Master's bouquet. We're gathering souls for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the only things that last, and we're to count the cost if we're going to do that. I thought, boy, Christianity is going to be easy. Christianity is hard. We still have the peace, the promise, the hope. But Christianity's hard. You know why? It gives us a little bit more of accountability than we had. We're not only accountable to ourselves, our spouses, our moms and dads if we're younger, we're accountable to the Most High God. And we're accountable because He gives us instruction of exactly what to do and what not to do. And we fail, we fall, and it's easy to point the finger, well, somebody made me do that. No, we're accountable to Him. Verse 28, or verse 29, lest happily after He hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock Him. It's our testimony to those around us. If we're not able to count the cost, and we go into this thing both feet first and build a foundation and then all of a sudden give up, what testimony does it give to others? Jesus tells us what testimony it is. People will make fun of us. People will think we're a joke. Mock us, but they'll mock Jesus Christ. Many begin this tower and seem unable to finish it, according to the story, bringing themselves into ridicule and the tower into a laughingstock. I don't want my life to be a laughingstock. I don't want my service, my life for the Lord Jesus Christ to be a laughingstock for others, and in the eyes of others, our Lord, a failure. I don't want Jesus Christ to appear to be a failure in my life. Therefore, I must count the cost. We're going to look at cessation from all sin, a submission to God's will, opposition by the world. These are all costs that we should count. Temptation by the devil and renunciation by the flesh. All these end with T-I-O-N. That's why they're sort of complicated. Building a tower for the Christian life, the cost of being a Christian, number one, the cessation of all sin, giving up of all sin. How many of us this morning like to push the envelope? Yeah, we like to push the envelope. When we're kids, we're sitting in the back seat and he's touching me. I'm not touching. Yes, you touch me. No, I'm not. My sleeve is. Have you ever done that with your brothers and sisters? Yeah. Then all of a sudden you draw a line and nothing goes across that line. And you just inch real close and you put something of yours just touching the line, just to push it as far as you can go. And all of a sudden, the hand. Wham! What do we say? See what you did? Huh? It's somebody else's fault. And then... quit humming. And then the fight ensues over humming. We just like to push the envelope. And the Bible tells us to cease from all sin. Yet we push and push and push and push. Then we justify it in our own eyes. We rationalize it. What does it say? The person who will rationalize usually tells them rational lies just to justify our position. Just because I'm a Christian. We make exceptions for ourselves. We keep drawing the line. It's just a shirt sleeve, so it really doesn't matter. But counting the cost, if we really counted the cost of building a tower, building a legacy for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we would not push. We would listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what our Father in Heaven says. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Not some, not a little bit, not most, not a majority, but cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and not push that envelope. Building a tower of the Christian life, the cost of being a Christian, not only giving up all sin, but as we need to submit to God's will. Submit to the authority in our lives. The authority in our lives should be Jesus Christ. Because we're bought with a price. We're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that he wants a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness unto light. The word peculiar here means purchased, a purchased possession. Not just a purposed possession. Peculiar here means he's called us a peculiar people because we're a purchased possession with a purpose. With a purpose. Our purpose here on earth is not to live the life of Riley. After we're saved, our purpose here on earth is to glorify the one who died for us, glorify the one who blesses us daily, glorify the one who keeps us in his hand and gives us eternal life. That's our job. That's our purpose in life. How many of us wake up some morning and you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. What are you going to do to this morning, honey? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And yet I've never considered what the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to do for Him that morning. Guilty! We're to submit to His will. And why shouldn't we? We're His. We're His. Building a tower of the Christian life. The cost of being a Christian. Counting the cost. We're in submission to God's will, not only because He's our authority, we're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, but because we should be grateful. Grateful for what He's done for us. How many times do we overlook what He's done for us and take for granted what He's done for us and what He continues to do? David says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He turned a deaf ear toward..." No, and He answered me. How many times have we cried out unto the Lord and He answers? We should submit to God's will out of gratefulness. The cost of being a Christian involves separation from the world. Separation from the world. Why does one need to separate from the world? Because a believer, or rather a Christian, can become just a believer just like that if we get involved with the world. We're not supposed to be unequally yoked to the world. If we become unequally yoked to the world and get ourselves involved with the world and the things of the world, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, we knock Him down three or four pegs because all of a sudden this world's got such a hold on us and it impedes our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible warns us over and over again about the world and the things of this world. Why? Because God loves us. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He's got our better interest at heart. It not only impedes our relationship with Jesus Christ, but it stunts our growth. And we don't get to experience God working in our lives. Why? Because we go to the world. We let the world dictate what our life is going to be and how we're going to operate. It stymies our testimony. How does the world stymie our testimony? Because all of a sudden we find what we think is joy, but we find happiness of the things in this world. And people are looking at us. Hey, I got horns in my house like everybody else. I got mounts in my... But like I mentioned Wednesday night, as I get older, they become less and less meaningful. Because when I die, I got a great set of horns. Once in a lifetime set of mule deer horns I killed when I was 18 years old. I mean, they're unbelievable. But you know what? When I die, they're going to be sold at my estate sale for about $5. If that. They might be sold for pennies on the pound. They mean nothing when I'm gone. Nothing. I have to look at my life and say, what kind of tower am I building? Am I building this tower over here of the world, finding joy in these things? And people are like, oh boy, that Pastor Russ, he's just like me. He's not finding joy and satisfaction and contentment in Jesus Christ. He's finding joy and satisfaction and contentment with things of the world. And it destroys our testimony. Counting the cost. We need to have separation from the world because it stifles our joy. The world stifles our joy. We don't have the same appreciation for what Jesus Christ is in our lives or should be. 1 John chapter 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Wherefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Counting the cost, building a tower. One of the costs is opposition by the world. We like to read Hebrews chapter 11 about the faith of Noah, the faith of Moses. And we love that. The faith of Abraham, how he believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And the faith of Joshua. Yeah, I want to be in that camp. Yeah, that camp. Oh yeah, we love. But you get to the end of Hebrews chapter 11, and we see how some of the Old Testament saints were sawn in half for the cause of Christ. Lived in caves. But we don't want that. But that's the cost. We've got to count that cost, because sometime in our lives, the world's going to oppose us. People are going to oppose us, and we get surprised, we get offended. I can't believe that people are against Christ. I can't believe that they take nativity sets out of the county court. I can't believe that you can't say a prayer at the graduation. It should come as no surprise. Jesus said, "They persecuted me, they'll persecute you also." But that's one of the costs that we should count. We're going to have opposition. And yet we're going to stand strong as Christians. Christians as Christ-like. Not to get in an argument and look at me, I got... No, we're going to stand strong in our faith. We're going to accept what's going to happen to us. And we're going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing the love of Christ. God will take... God is... Vengeance is mine, the Bible says. God will take care of those of that opposition and those who are opposed to us. We don't have to. He'll take care of it. Our job is to serve Jesus Christ, love people, be kind and tender-hearted toward people. Counting the cost. What about temptation by the devil? The devil is at work and his devils are at work. The devil is not omnipresent like the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is not omnipresent like God Almighty. The devil has many devils. A third of the angels fell with him. There are innumerable devils or demons, if you will, and they have influence on the believer. The devil tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. But James says in chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." It's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? Counting the cost. Here's the biggie. Renunciation of the flesh. Self-denial. Christianity involves sacrifice. Christianity involves that thing which we're opposed to because, hey, let's face it, our flesh is all about me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the toughest thing to do, is to not deny ourself of the things we want. We're our own worst enemy. All these are the costs of the Christian life. And I say Christian life. We are called to glorify Him, and the only lasting legacy is what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who are in your 20s and 30s or teens, if Jesus doesn't come back, you're going to get to be an old man. Someday you'll be an old man like me. And things change. Our priorities change. The way we see things change. I don't want to wait till I'm on my deathbed to build a lasting legacy for my Lord and Savior. I want to start now. Something that will last. So at the estate sale, my mom and dad's estate sale, they went down to be with my brother and I took care of things. There was all kinds of stuff. There was stuff here, there was stuff there, there was stuff in, there was stuff out. And you take stuff out of, and it would grow. There's stuff everywhere. My dad always said, you know what, I'm king of my castle and all I purvey. Purvey is to purchase. To accumulate. And he was master of all he purvey. King of his castle. And at that estate sale, we found out how much all he purveyed was worth. All the stuff. And he had six or eight of different stuff. He grew up in Browning, so that's he just used to accumulating things. And it took about 3 or 4 months. Five burn piles. The first thing I'd do when I'd get up there is start the burn piles. And as we took stuff out, just started throwing stuff in burn piles. We always had a 20-yard dumpster there. There's six 20-yard dumpsters there by the time we got done. Then we'd pile stuff into what was good and might sell at the estate sale and stuff that might sell on eBay or whatnot. Then we had an estate sale. And then the next week we had a friends come up and get anything you wanted for free. I built a couple points there. The next week I put it on Craigslist. Free! Oh man, we had all kinds of people up there. There was still over a dumpster that no one took. I found out how much that stuff was worth. Couldn't even give it away. Why do I say that? Because real quickly we're going to go through the cost of not being a Christian. Building a tower of a Christless life. And my dad built a tower of a Christless life. And that tower ended up in six dumpsters, 28 tons of Pacific Iden fir of steel, and five burn piles. The tower of a Christless life. And the cost of not being a Christian, the cost of not being a Christian is not having the forgiving love the Father. All of us who can name Jesus Christ as Savior know how precious the forgiving love of the Father is. It's God's will that all men be saved, who will have all men, His desire that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. My dad was a miserable man for 78 years. He built a tower of a Christless life. The tower of a Christless life, the cost of not being a Christian, is not having the saving power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, in whom we have redemption. Redemption through His blood. We're rescued from loss by the blood of Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. My dad was not only miserable for 78 years, he was hostile toward Jesus Christ for 78 years. I tried to share Jesus Christ with him. He showed me the door and called me all kinds of names that I had been called before and didn't want a thing to do with Jesus Christ. The cost of building a Christless tower is not having the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace. Those of us as believers, we know that peace and we cannot convey that to people because it passes understanding. You can't even put it into words. And for 78 years, my dad was an angry man. He knew not the peace of God. And he built a tower of material things, temporal things. The cost of not being a Christian is not having the assurance, the assuring promise of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, written unto you that you may know you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. For 78 years, my dad was unsure and a restless man because he didn't know where he was going. He talked about hell quite a bit. He told many people to go there. He knew there was a hell. He was very assured that there was a hell and by God, people are going to pay. And he'd grit his teeth. For 78 years building a tower of a Christless life, my dad was miserable, hostile, angry, unsure, and restless man. And that's the cost of a life without Christ. There might be some of you here this morning who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And you're unsure, and you don't have that peace. The Bible says there is a hell, and there is a heaven. The Bible assures us that Jesus Christ was a man, the Son of God, and He paid the price of our sin on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're here this morning and you do not know with certainty, if there's even a doubt that you go to heaven when you die, I invite you this morning, someone can show you in the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. It's simple. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God, my dad trusted Jesus Christ at 78 years old. And praise God, he's in heaven right now because Jesus loves him. My dad became a softer man. He still cussed, not like he used to. And the Lord's name in vain was almost down to never. He was a changed man. But the tower of a Christless life ends at the day you die. There's no legacy. We're going to have an invitation. And during this invitation, for those of us who are saved, who are believers, I invite you this morning, have you counted the cost of a Christian life? To live the Christian life is a serious undertaking. It isn't 1 hour a week at Sunday church. It's a life. It is costly and it involves sacrifice and denying the flesh. And whatever the cost, it must be paid by the believer to live the Christian life. Building a legacy, building a tower to honor Jesus Christ our Lord. It cost Jesus Christ his life. But he finished the job. John chapter 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." We've got to ask ourselves a question as believers. Will we finish the job that we started? Or will we become a laughingstock? Will people mock the Lord Jesus Christ because we were unable to finish the job that Jesus had us to start? It's not too late to get restarted. It's not too late to ask Jesus Christ to give us the strength to count the cost and to pay the cost of living a Christian life. For those of you who are lost, or the cost of a Christless life is an expensive one. Can you afford the cost of eternity separated from God? Paying for your sins for eternity in a place called hell? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?
390.
Hymn 390. Heart right with God. Countest thou all the things Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Have thou self over sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil and out and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Sin, is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, right in the holy, right in the
Boy, that's a perfect song. What does it say? Countest thou all things but Jesus for loss? Is thy heart right with God? Amen. Praise God. We have a potluck. Everybody's invited to the potluck. There is plenty of food. Plenty of food. So I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. I want to thank the Most High God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'd also ask... Brother Bill Nelson, would you close us in prayer and also pray blessing on the food, and then we can get started when we go down. Thank you so much.